While the world is understandably watching coronavirus, Biosecurity Queensland is hoping you're keeping a keen eye out for another incursion, fall armyworm. It's been a week since Far North Queensland farmers learned that they had the new biosecurity threat on their doorstep. Since then, many have been doing a crash course on the species, which has been found now officially at South Johnston and Tolga, as well as up into the peninsula. Ag researchers are now working overtime to answer the questions being asked by farmers about what they need to do to protect their crops from one of the world's worst invasive caterpillars. It's called fall armyworm because overnight it can move into a crop and decimate it. Now, Charlie McKillop visited the South Johnston Research Station, south of Cairns, to speak with veteran horticulturalist Stuart Lindsay.
Not exactly high-tech gadgetry, Stuart.
Oh, sometimes simple is best, Charlie. Less things to go wrong with it. But yeah, it's a simple device, typical of a lot of these sort of pheromone traps that we use for different insects. Really looking for something that's going to protect the pheromone and the insecticide that's in there and keep it out of the weather, provide access for the insects in the fashion that they like to get there.
Today, there's nothing in that trap. Should we take any comfort from that?
I suspect that there'd be plenty around if we wanted to put a network of traps out. This pest is sort of in North Queensland, so its ability to move and reproduce means I don't think we'd have too much trouble finding more.
All right, well, let's get out of this beating sun. Is it just a coincidence that three separate suspect moths have turned up in traps in three separate major agricultural growing hubs in far north Queensland at exactly the same time?
I think, Charlie, it probably just shows what this pest is capable of, and its ability to fly, you know, big distances quickly. And obviously it's moved down Cape York Peninsula at some point in the recent past. This thing's capable of flying 100 or 200 k's a night, particularly if it has favourable winds, so it doesn't take long to cover a big distance. Can produce a lot of eggs, and unfortunately it's already here as soon as we started looking.
From what you know about it, is it more a case of the fact that we only have just started looking? Has it been here all along?
That's a really good question, Charlie. I suspect if it has been here for any length of time, it's a relatively short one. Just the speed with which this thing has moved through South and East Asia. It was only reported in China in 2019, I think in India in 2018, Indonesia 2019. It's moving very quickly, which is what it's done apparently in other parts of the world. So if the suggestion is, you know, has it been here for 10 years or more, I doubt it. But then, to be honest, unless you're looking for it, you don't know.
Where else might it be?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's more than capable of moving into a lot of northern Australia. The climate is very suitable for it. It's just this morning I was having a look at some eco-climatic data for it, and, you know, this thing is certainly capable of establishing across most of coastal northern Australia, probably from central Queensland round to an equivalent latitude in Western Australia. So could it be there already? I'm hoping that that's what the trapping is showing, where it's going to get to.
It's not the first time that the South Johnston Research Centre has found itself at the front line of a biosecurity incursion. I get the sense of deja vu sitting opposite you talking about the answers that farmers are seeking, because this is where you were almost exactly 5 years ago in the aftermath of the Panama disease tropical race 4 outbreak. How would you describe or compare the level of preparedness?
Yeah, it's interesting, Charlie. I think this is probably more comparable to papaya fruit fly. So that was 1995. And the reason why I say that is because preparedness for these things is always difficult, because it can have such a big host range and you're really limited to investigating its activities and what it does overseas. You know, the information we're getting is that the behaviour of this pest in each of the continents that it's moved through is slightly different. It's native to tropical and subtropical Americas. When it moved into Africa, it behaved slightly different. When it moved into Asia, it was doing some slightly different things again. So you can only go off that precedent, and each of those precedents is saying, well, we think we know it's going to roughly do this, but there could be some behaviour outside of that the Australian environment brings out in it. We don't know.
And therein lies the challenge. Are you able as a researcher to provide the specificity that farmers are looking for about what they need to do in the here and now?
It's difficult because, like you say, we know that this thing can cause quite a lot of damage on crops like maize and sweet corn, sorghum. What it does in the horticultural crops of the areas that I work in particularly, and bananas especially, really a big unknown. We don't have a lot of information. And these sort of armyworm pests aren't necessarily that specific. They'll have preferred hosts, but if given the choice of, you know, having nothing to eat, they'll eat anything. So these things may cause sporadic damage in crops where they may not be a regular pest.
There's still a sense from some of the farmers that I've spoken with in each of those three affected areas that, well, this is armyworm. We know about this pest. We've seen it before.
Look, and that's understandable too, Charlie, because this is a pest that's in a group of insects, which we do have representatives here that people would be familiar with. So, you know, the sort of common armyworm that rips up people's lawns, cutworms that chew off, you know, seedlings at ground level, cluster caterpillar, which a lot of people would be familiar with in the banana industry. These are all, you know, relatively closely related and have very similar life cycles. So it is probably going to be hard for people. They're going to see things that look familiar to them. The impression that I get and what I understand from what's happened overseas is it's about the magnitude of the damage. So what people will notice is that they'll have armyworm, or they'll have what looks like a common armyworm or a cluster caterpillar type situation, but the damage will be more severe and it'll be happening much quicker. Reports, particularly from Africa and places like that, is that, you know, they can strip maize crops in sort of 24 hours when the populations are very high. I've not seen too many of our other armyworm species or related species in Australia that can do that sort of damage in that time frame. So to me, the things that growers need to be thinking about is if I'm starting to see damage that's sort of familiar but it seems a bit excessive, then they probably need to start asking questions about, is this new pest?
Does it stand to reason, though, that if something's worked for armyworms, given the correlation between the species, that it might work for fall armyworm?
Yes, and I think that's a reasonable assumption. But what we do know with this pest is that it has an enhanced propensity to develop resistance to a lot of chemical insecticides, and including at least one class of sort of biological control products. So this is something where in places like Brazil, they've effectively lost most of the chemical armory that they might be able to use. The reason why it's good to be aware and try and find out what's there is, A, this pest has arrived. We don't know what resistance it's brought with it. So if it's a genetic strain that's come out of Africa and gone via India and China to Australia, well, it may already be resistant to some of the things we want to try. And the second one is, if we don't think about how we use the practices that we have, then we could be very quickly chewing up, losing products that might actually have some control.
So you've just outlined a pest that moves at remarkable speed, has a penchant for more than 300 or so different plant species, and now you're saying it also has a special ability to resist some chemicals that farmers have relied on in the past. I mean, it sounds like a farmer's worst nightmare.
Yeah, it certainly poses lots of challenges for agricultural research. Not all of the new pests that we're going to encounter are going to have these sorts of attributes. How this one will play out in Australia and the impacts it'll have, I think we can only wait to be sure about the full scope of them. But the reality is that this is a significant problem and people need to be paying attention for things that are different.
Stuart Lindsay, team leader with Banana Production Systems at the Queensland Department of Ag, based at South Johnston, and like all ag researchers and farmers, is seeking answers on how far North Queensland's latest biosecurity incursion, that is fall armyworm, is going to play out. We will bring you the latest as we get it to hand here on The Country Hour.